Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sunday we began this portion of the scripture in 2 Kings concerning the prophetic church, the prophetic people, the lives of a people who are caught up into the purpose of God, the promise of God, the eternal life of God. And we're looking at it through the eyes of Elijah and Elisha. And on Sunday, we talked about Naaman and the little maid. And we talked about how Naaman is a perfect picture of a man in his greatness, a man that had reached the pinnacle of his profession, his lifestyle, everything. But in the end, he was still a leper. And as a leper, it's a picture of sin, right? And, you know, Psalm said, verily every man at his best state station is altogether vanity, empty. So no matter how great man is, he still comes up short of what God is after. And that even includes, right, religious man, right? Even more importantly, that is the religious man. And so we see here the little maid. The interesting thing about the little maid, she was, I took it from the point of view of prisoner of the Lord. She was captive by the Syrian military, and how she ended up in Haman's house was the direction of the Lord. Amen. No matter what anybody thinks, God is sovereign. And he directs exactly how he decides. All you and I ever have to do is to follow in that course of his providence, right? You know, my brother, he had called me. And by the way, I guess my dad is feeling well, so the prayers of the saints go in that direction continually. But he was telling me he really enjoyed, he listened to the message already from Sunday, and he said, I really enjoyed the part about the little maid and how God puts people right where he wants them. And those that stay put recognize that God is after only one thing. He will work out of that dimension, even if they are captives to their surrounding circumstance. Naaman, according to the Israelites, was an oppressor, wasn't he? But the interesting thing about the little maid was when she told him, or, you know, said that to her mistress about that God would heal him through the prophet Elisha that was in Israel, which I thought, you know, I also thought about this. Joseph said, take my bones out, right, of Egypt. Anybody remember why? Why do you think Joseph said, take my bones? When you guys leave Egypt, why take his bones? Real simple. No resurrection life in Egypt. Vanity of vanities. No resurrection life in humanity. Doesn't exist. All right? And so she said there was healing in Israel. I like that because Israel in this context is, yes, a place, but in reality, it's a realm in God. It's a son, isn't it? there's healing in the sun, isn't it? You know, Israel, my what? Son. Amen. And what I really like about the little maid is this. She had compassion for her oppressor. I mean, it was genuine. It wasn't fake like we see today. It was real. You know, a lot of people give lip service, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty, they're always hightailing it for the exits. Right? Love. Oh, I love. I love. Everybody loves. I was watching The Voice last night, and everybody's got the big medallions all around their necks. Love. Oh, I love you. I love you. It's fake. It's not real. It's emotional. It's, watch. Can I say this? It's shallow. Are you saying it's not love? Oh, it might be love, but it's not real. It's not God love. It's human love. Just like Naaman, right? The highest at his profession. Are you with me? I personally believe this. We know Jesus laid his life down, right? And we know that no greater love hath any man that he lay his life down. But I believe there's a dimension of love that God has not expended on us yet, because we've not come to that place like a wife and a husband, like a and a bride. Are you with me? Until the bride gets it right, he's holding things in reserve. It isn't that he hasn't given her any love, because he has. But he has so much more that he could expend if she would only turn to him with all of her heart. And watch this, do things his way. That's all God ever wanted. Right? Watch. Family for himself. Right? A bride for a son or a body. Right? And a temple for his spirit. But the interesting thing is that she had compassion for the heathen, right? For this heathen man, because, watch this, she truly had forgiven him. You took me away from my mama, my daddy, my land. You took me away from everything that I knew and I identified with. But in my captivity, everybody should get this, in the place where God put me, in my watch, in my house, in my church, in my family, in my whatever, fill in my job, fill in the blank. No matter how bad you think it is, God has you in that place so that you can really begin to understand and learn to express his spirit. And one of the characteristics, watch, true characteristics, she passed the litmus test, didn't she? She was able to forgive. Oh, yeah. A lot of people's lip service. Usually as they're walking out the door, slinging arrows. Been around a long time. I've seen it. But she surely forgave her captors and his soldiers, his army, his people. Watch. In her words, because of her heart, put Naaman's healing in motion. Now, the interesting thing, I'll say this, and you already know this, Naaman could have aborted the whole thing. He almost did, didn't he? He could have aborted it. But no matter what, her whole life, even I told you that she was young, right? Her whole life was for 5 minutes. We've wanted to read or watch somebody or listen to somebody for 5 minutes, and then we wanted to make our whole lives model after that, when really all God ever is looking for is someone to fill in. Watch, he sets in the body as it what pleases him. I always like when Mark Hamby said this. What the problem with the church is she needs to stop doing all the things that God never asked her to do. I think that's the question I'm going to start asking people. I think I'm going to go do this. Did God tell you to do it? Did God tell you to do it? You know what we've done in the church? We've just taken that position of answering for God, set ourselves up in the temple thinking that we can make every decision and call it God. Because, look, watch, wouldn't it be God's will to make me happy? To bless me? Because God is a blessing and all He does is pour out blessings. Are you with me? She was put in a place that she did not ask for, a circumstance that she did not create. And in that, watch this, she found God and was able to express the innermost beings of God right in the midst. And what God's trying to get you and I to understand this, as a church, the little maid, the little church, insignificant, no matter how small you are as a church, people, they will not understand if your heart is able to express who God is in the midst. Amen. So I want to continue on tonight. So Naaman's healing is now put in motion, all right? So turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5. Are you there? Okay, here we go. Verse 4. And one, providentially, right? Just not just, you know, accidentally, but God designed this. And one went in and told or made known his Lord, the master, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, said, go, you know, the king of Syria at the time was Ben-Hadad, right? Said, go, and I will send a letter or a writing unto the king of Israel. And if you remember, who was the king of Israel at the time? Jehoram, remember, the son of Ahab, because what happened to Ahaziah? He leaned too far, he went just too far. Some folks just go too far. I pray all the time, God, I don't go too far. And so he, Naaman, departed. And look what Naaman took with him. He took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Okay? Now, the value of that silver, okay, this gives us a picture of something here that we already told you this. He was at the highest of his profession. So when you're at the highest of your profession, you're going to have money, right? And when you have money, you think you can buy anything. Tell me I'm wrong. Look, you and I do the exact same thing. We think because we have money that, hey, I can afford that. You know, if I want to go out and buy a $100 shirt, I'll just go out and buy a $100 shirt, right? Money. And so what you end up really doing is creating a mindset that as long as I have money, I can do whatever I want. Sounds like the American church. Sounds like American people, right? The value of that silver in today's dollars, it's about $235,000. Which doesn't sound like a lot of money, but that was a lot of money then. Right? Because we measure things in, well, rich people today are measured in billionaires, right? And we still would say someone in the millionaire mode is still pretty well off, wouldn't we? But I suppose, you know, you back up a few hundred centuries, and I'm sure that, and this is, think about this. This is a good thought. He wasn't given all of his wealth. He was only given what he thought was appropriate. Yeah, that's a good one. Right? Yeah, just enough. He's going to just make sure, watch, I'm going to go do this, but I guarantee you I'm not leaving myself anywhere near bankruptcy. Right? So he had about $230,000, $35,000 if you went and calculated it. Let's see. All right. So Naaman was a wealthy man, wasn't he? And he was bringing with him silver. He was bringing with him gold. And I don't know, gold's about $1,200 an ounce right now, I think. So, you know, that's a pretty good amount of cash there, too. Plus, he brought 10 changes of raiment, or watches, clothing. They were very expensive suits for festival entertainment. All right? I mean, I don't know. What's some expensive suits we have here? I don't know. I would think, like, for me, a Jones New York or something like that, but I'm sure people are spending $5,000 and $6,000 or more on suits somewhere. Armani, yeah, there you go, Danielle. Armani, yeah. I don't even know what an Armani suit looks like. I don't even know how to spell Armani. Are you with me? So I'm sure he was bringing, you know, we have a saying at work. We don't use it so much anymore. It's Bob, best of the best. I'm sure he was bringing the best of the best. And the reason he was, why was he willing to bring this? Because he wanted to get, he had everything but health, didn't he? This is humanity, isn't it? It has everything but what? Health. This is what breaks my heart about the church. The church actually thinks that if everybody was healthy and healed, everything would be cool. But you want to know the truth of the matter is? We got a lot of healthy Christians that aren't so cool. Because the heart and the mind, even the new creations, even the born-again folks, even me. Are you with me? God's after something. He has not changed his mind. You know, my brother Tim texted me today. I got to read this. I don't know why it just popped in my head, but let me find this. He said, I saw this on a website that he was, he was just ordering a car part, right? And this is what it said. God in his wisdom has decided that he will reward no work but his own. Isn't that interesting? We think God's going to reward our work. We do all the time. He's not rewarding any work. Like this little girl, this little maid, he rewarded Naaman because of her faithfulness to stay the course. She was, look, she didn't try to escape. She didn't try to run away. She came to a reality. She had an experience in God that said, oh my God, I'm a captive, just like Paul. I got bonds on me. Listen, I wish you were all free like me, except for these bonds, these chains. She understood that I'm right where God wants me. Not constantly, always looking around for the next best thing. Right? God in his wisdom has decided that he will reward no work but his own. I'd like to make that a sign, wouldn't you? Yeah. All right. So we see that Naaman was wealthy, wasn't he? He was wealthy. And what do you think he's going to try and buy? His health. Well, no. Listen, he's trying to buy his health. Look, we spend more money in the United States than any other country for what? Health care. To get what? Health. And look, we get scared. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I understand it. It sends chills down my spine. We hear the C word, we think the D word. But the number one killer in the United States is what? Heart disease. I think that's telling us something. We have a bigger problem with our hearts than we do with everything else. Not just in men, but it's men and women. It's the number one killer. So he's trying to buy his health. Kind of reminds me of Simon trying to buy the Holy Ghost. Remember from Peter? For most folks, life is all about money. And there's nothing wrong with having money. And I'm way ahead of myself, but we'll find out what money can do to people. Right, Gehazi? Yeah. Okay, verse 6. Are you all right this night? Here we go. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, he being Naaman. So he brought the letter to Jehoram, right, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. So, look, the king's writing a letter. How great is that? He's got the backing of his own master, doesn't he? That, look, and don't you find it funny? I don't know about you, but as I was reading this, you know, this is just the way I think, I guess. But look, the little mate says, go to the prophet. But the king appealed to the other king. He didn't even go to the prophet. He went to the king. Because you know why? He, like most folks in the church or out of the church, they seek a position opposed to the power. God, he's got it. He's the king, so he has to be the top-notch guy. No, look, who ran the show in Israel? The prophets. Tell me I'm wrong. When there was a famine, who did he call? The prophets. He didn't call the kings, did he? Because usually you find out people of position, they have issues, don't they? All right, verse 7, here we go. And it came to pass, I think this verse is kind of interesting. And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes. Now, look, what is renting your clothes? It's a sign, right? He tore them, right? It's a sign of alarm and terror as well as grief, wasn't it? Oh, my God, he ripped his clothes. What was he afraid of? Look what he said. And said, am I God? Are you with me? That word God there is Elohim. But look what he said. Am I God to do what? To kill and make alive. Now, why would he say that? He knows how to kill, but he certainly doesn't know how to make alive. And the reason he said that was because, look, leprosy, it'll kill you. Sin, it'll what? Kill you. I don't believe that. The wages of sin is death. Now, see, we get really religious and we say, well, wait, the gift of God is eternal life. It absolutely is true. But if you don't lay hold, put on, overcome, not works of the flesh, right? You can't buy your way in. Cannot. Two laws are going on at the same time right now, right? Day and night. The law of day, the law of night. The law of sin and death, the law of what? Life in Christ Jesus, right? The law of the Spirit, is that right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. They're both going on at the same time. Look, am I God to kill and to make alive? A leper is considered a dead man, right? That this man, meaning Jehoram, right? I think I got that mixed up. Not Jehoram, but what's that? Yeah, Ben-Hadad. That this man send me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore, consider, or know, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel or an occasion against me. In other words, the Message Bible says, look, the only reason you're doing this is you're trying to pick a fight. That's what the Message Bible says, to pick a fight. Because look, Syria was always what? Fighting with Israel. People don't get this though. And God doesn't work this way anymore because that's, you know, Old Testament. But watch. God always raised up, and I say raised up, he always motivated the enemy, right, to get Israel's attention. Because Israel, look, people are no different today than they were then. This is exactly what Moses said. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get in the land. You're going to become a Christian. You're going to walk in Christ. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to forget. And if you don't believe me, then Jesus gave you the same example with the parable of the seed. Didn't he? Jesus, I think, was a little tougher than Moses. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. There ain't many of you going in. Now, could you imagine preaching that in our churches today? Throw the bum out. No, God has us right where he wants us so we can learn how to express who he is. And look, I do believe this. We do to some degree, but I think for the most part it's hit or miss. And I think the real issue with all of our lives is, look, we need to have a heart for God. There's no doubt about it. I mean, a hunger. You know, last Friday I had to fast because I had to go get my physical and they wanted to do the 12-hour blood draw. And you know what I really enjoyed about fasting? What? You enjoyed it? You know what it reminded me of? The time when I fasted for 3 days. Because you know what happens in a year's time? You forget what it's like to be really hungry. And every time I think like that, I forget sometimes. It reminds me, though, but I forget when I'm not fasting. Geez, I should be hungry for God. Is my spirit craving him? I still personally believe that's the whole purpose of fasting. It's never to get anything. Well, unless you consider getting him. Right? Getting to know him. I tell the Lord this all the time. Geez, God, I just don't really know you that well. I know a lot about you. When I read the Bible, and I read it a lot, and I've read it for a long time, the relationships that they had with God sure surpass don't they? He's just trying to pick a fight with me, isn't he? Verse 8. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him, Naaman, come now to me, and he shall know. I like that word know. You know what that word know means? He shall know by experience. See, that's what really matters, doesn't it? I mean, God's done a lot of things in our lives, you know, individually or whatever, whether we recognize it or not. But what he really wants us to know him by experience. I always think about this when Peter and John ran to the tomb and one outran the other. And I really do believe this. Like, I believe it in my own life personally. I believe it in our lives as a collective group, that our knowledge, and it's not a bad thing, has outran our experience. I want my experience. I want experience to catch up with what I know. Amen? That's why I tell the Lord all the time. I say, Lord, I know a whole lot more about you than I do knowing you by experience. And I've had some, you know, personally, you know, I've had some wonderful moments during good and bad times. Amen. But he said, listen, send them to me so he can know by experience, watch this, that there is a, I like this, He didn't say a God in Israel. He said a prophet. Because in my opinion, when there's a prophetic people and a prophetic church that can function in this way, watch. What were they called all the time? What was Elijah called all the time? What was Elijah called? The man of God. His office, his position was prophet. But watch this. His power was God. How cool is that? Isn't that what he wants in a people? Isn't that what he's after in a church? And Elisha sent a messenger. Watch this. Wait, I skipped a verse. Hang on 1 second. Okay, here we go. So, now watch this. Let me read these verses together. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? And let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. So can you imagine now, Naaman? He's a top dog, isn't he? He's got horses. He's got chariots. I mean, he's got an entourage that everybody's going to know. Sounds like a lot of preachers today. Let's go see if we can fill up the Colosseums. Let's see what we can do. You know, it's all about the show, isn't it? Look, he's got lots of money. He's got the clothes. He's got the... Are you with me? He's got what? Do you remember what Psalms... Turn with me. Let's turn there. Psalms chapter 20. I know you know this, but I like to go there and read it sometimes. Psalms 20. So, can you picture this? Here's Elisha. Where is he at? He's at his house. He's, you know, I don't know where he's at exactly, but he's somewhere, isn't he? But wherever he is, here comes Naaman and his whole crowd shows up, right? And he comes with his might, doesn't he? He's got his money. He's got his horses. He's got his servants. He's got the, obviously, he's a captain of what? Armies, right? So he's got everybody there because they're protecting him too, right? It's the military, isn't it? But look at what verse 7 says of chapter 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, right? This shows that Naaman relied upon his human strength and his human wisdom. The strength and the wisdom of Egypt, or better yet, watch this, of Adam. Yeah. See, you know, I know that we're looking at Naaman from an aspect of Syria, but, you know, in a deeper sense, you ready? Naaman is a picture of Adam or humanity, right? And the reason that God sovereignly puts a little maid or a church in place just to change her heart so that she... See, this has been my message all along. See, I preach the Son, but what have I always preached about the Son? The Son's whole assignment is to deliver the creation or humanity from its what? Sin. Nature. It's always been my premise. I know not everybody can hear that, but... Look, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we must remember the name of the Lord our God, right? We can't rely. Look, I have a question for you. Can you take human strength and human wisdom and clothe it in religion, right? The best clothing, right? Armani suits. Are you with me? and fool a lot of people, can't you? But it's still human strength. It's still human wisdom. You know what's interesting? All right, if I tell you, what does the horse represent? Overcomer on the light side, but it speaks of human strength on the dark side. But they're both horses, aren't they? See, this is why most folks, they don't get it, right? They live in a whole world of it's either black or white. It's either or. But God doesn't live in that area. Well, God doesn't live in a gray area. God lives in all the areas. How do you know that? He's omnipresent. I told you, when I was a little kid, my dad was teaching Sunday school in Grace Emmanuel. I almost fell off the chair that day when I had an eye awakening moment. The devil wasn't in charge of hell. God is. Newsflash, Christians, who holds the keys to death and hell? Yeah, not the devil. By the way, God was long before there ever was a devil. And the devil didn't sneak up on God. This is the problem with most folks, because they live in a realm of the past, Adam. Okay? Human strength, human wisdom. Okay? That's why we make up stories that, you know, the devil fell and all this stuff. Yeah. Whatever. Okay, are you all right? Sorry. Isn't all God trying to do is change our minds? He's trying to get us to do what? Think like God. How many people, churches, are like Rachel? Leave daddy's house, Adam, Laban, right? And bring your household thoughts, idols with you. And then try to do what? Hide them. Are you all right? Okay, now, let's look at verse 10. So what did we say? We see Naaman, he shows up, right, with his whole array of, can I use this word? Adamness, right? Everything. He was the ultimate vanity of vanity, wasn't he? It was all Adam in his best, Adam at his best. But even in his best or at his best, as Psalm says, it's all what? Vanity. It's empty. It impresses people. I think it fools people. It connives people. Watch this. It intimidates people. Watch this. It intimidates people in the realm of a spirit, invisible realm, that people bow down and worship. No, not me. Be careful. Be careful. Are you with me? Remember Absalom? They all fell in love with him, didn't they? David's son. Jesus' son. And I don't want to scare you, but John said this, that Adam was the Son of God. Does it not say that? Okay, here we go. Now look at verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger or a representative unto him, Haman. Now, can you imagine this? Here is Elisha. He's in the house. And it's like me saying, hey, Dale, go outside. You go meet him. I'm not even getting up. I'm too busy. Now, can you imagine the church folks today? Where's your kindness? Where's your niceness? Where's your love? Where's your respect? Human strength, human wisdom. We don't ever give God room to really work. We're always trying to do something for God instead of knowing what God is really doing. So he says, watch this, he sends his representative and he says to him, go and wash, bathe ceremonially, in the Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee. In other words, it will be restored, right? And thou shalt be clean, pure, physically and ceremonially, clear, bright, shining, purged from all pollution and defilement of idolatry, right? That's what that word means. You shall be clean, okay? Now look, the Living Bible says this, healed of every trace of leprosy. In other words, look, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan, right? And you will be free from sin. He didn't go tell him himself. He sent his servant or his representative. Are you with me? And if we think it was his servant Gehazi, Gehazi must have been impressed. Wow, look at all this shiny armor. Look at all this money. Look at all this stuff. Watch. You want me to put it? People think that about certain preachers. Look at, they listen to their words and their vernacular is impressive to them. Are you with me? Well, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He says, go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times. All right? Now, it's interesting. In Leviticus chapter 14, it says, but it shall be on the 7th day that he, the leper, shall shave all of his hair off of his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all of his hair he shall shave off, and he shall, watch this, wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean, bright, pure, holy. What was interesting about that verse? 7 and becoming clean. It's cool that it has to be obedient also. Look, in John chapter 9, Jesus said this. He said, and Jesus said, and said unto him, the blind man from birth, right? Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and he became, or he was able to what? See. Wash, right? Are you with me? Look, what people don't get. Hang on 1 second. I got to read something here. All right. Watch. I'm way ahead of myself sometimes, all right? So he sent him out. But look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand, watch this, and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper. Watch this. Abracadabra. What church folks are all about. This is what Naaman, this is what humanity thinks. They're looking for a show. They're not looking for the word of the Lord. He was angry. Watch this. Don't you know who I am? I can fill arenas. I can fill theaters. I can fill stadiums. I'm on TV. Are you with me? Can you hear what he's saying? Haman, that's what my brother said. I hear he keeps saying Haman. Haman, Naaman, they're both the same to me because they both had the same spirit, Adam. Are you with me? He wasn't happy, was he? I thought you were going to come out, call the TV cameras so we can put it on the internet and fool a whole lot of people. He didn't even go out there himself. He sent his representative. Watch this. Do you know why he sent his representative? I wish the church would learn this. Because God's not trying to lift up a man, individual, singular. This is why God's after a corporate anointing. It flows from the head to the body. He's not interested in individuals by themselves, so to speak. And don't pick my words apart from my spirit. He's after someone. Watch, when you lay hands on someone, a whole group, no one gets the credit except God. This is why he sent his representative. The day of Mr. Glow in the Dark is over. The truth of the matter is that whole scenario is dead, except for those who keep it propped up, because there's no life in it. I am not deceived. Watch this. The church, even this church, isn't even nearly as relevant as the word that's in it should be. 'Tis not, can I say that? Now you can deceive yourself with human strength and human wisdom and words of, you know. He wasn't happy, was he? And listen, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he went away. He was just a little miffed. No, he was enraged, wasn't he? He was enraged. Do you understand what is the ultimate issue with Adam? Pride. Watch. God gives grace to the, but he resists the, because isn't that what Adam's real problem was from the beginning? Pride. I'll make my own decisions. I won't even pray about it. I won't even ask God. I will just do whatever I want and call it God. And then watch, when it doesn't turn out right, I'll blame it on the woman. I mean, my own mind or someone else. Naaman's pride had to be dealt with. This is one of the reasons why God, see, look. The Bible says this. Go look at it. God tries the what? The hearts. You know? It doesn't matter what we see on the surface. God ponders the heart. He knows what's inside. You can give all the words. I can give all the words I want. But God already knows, doesn't he? Literally, I have this conversation with God all the time. Lord, I don't want to deceive myself, let alone somebody else, because I surely am not fooling you. But look, I'm telling you, God had to deal with Naaman's pride. God has to deal with Adam's pride. Look, you can become a born-again believer. You can become a new creation. You can get circumcised in water baptism and still have pride. That's why we still have Bishop Glow in the Darks. Are you with me? You do get what a Bishop Glow in the Dark is. That somebody just wants to be seen and heard, right? That's what Naaman wanted, didn't he? Look, Naaman's pride had to be dealt with. The prophet, right, did not follow the Eastern protocol. The Lord's simple remedy demanded a complete submission. This is a problem with folks in the church. I'm submitted to God. You might be, but you're not submitted to any of his order. What's the litmus test in submission? When you're willing to submit. And he has clear channels. Watch, if children don't submit or obey their parents, no matter what they say, it's no different than what Saul said. We did everything the Lord asked us to. Remember that? Submission. There has to be a complete submission. Has to be. Now, can I say this? Seriously, I just say this as a pastor. I say it as a teacher. And, you know, I say it as even your family member. Go read your Bible and just look up every word that has to do with submit. Just go do it. You might not like it. And you know what always bothers me? Seriously. Now, I know you're not going to like this, but look. The Bible says in Ephesians, he says, watch, wives submit to your husbands, right? He's talking about the church, right? Isn't that what he's doing? Because what does God want to do? He wants to have the church submitted to him. Not in a little bit, but 100%, right? But you know what the argument always comes back as? Well, wait, it says husbands love your wives as, look, that wasn't the argument. It never has been. All it was doing was trying to show you and I the order, look, the order of what God wants from his church. Can I say it a different way? He wants to have that order of our mind, our will, our emotions, our soul realm submitted to the Spirit. Watch. We don't like this, but watch this. The sons of God are what? Led. They're not driven. They're led. Why are they led? Because they know how to submit and follow. And Naaman didn't know how to do that because as Adam, mindset, right? All he knew how to do was move from the top. He didn't know how to, look, I always felt this way. The best leaders are those that know how to follow the best, right? I'm just saying. Look. The Lord's simple remedy, can I say this again? The Lord's simple remedy demanded, not begged, not asked, demanded a complete submission. And if we have any desire to be like our Father, he submitted to the what? Cross. He would have never died, but he did what? He gave up his life. He submitted. A lot of voices around him. Trying to get them not to give it up. A lot of religious voices. If you be the Son of God, come down from there. Don't ever come down because somebody's always trying to get you to come down from the position God puts you in. And I don't mean a position behind a pulpit. I mean a position in the body of Christ where he has set you in life. Look, you're alive at this particular moment in time. Because he decided, not way back then, not way in the future. He decided at this particular moment. All right, I got to get moving or I'll never get done. All right, here we go. Naaman had sought help from a man of position instead of a man of power, right? Expecting a healing by his own preconceived method, right? The prophet dealt first with the spiritual problem. Are you listening to me? It's always been a spiritual problem. It's been a spiritual problem from day one all the way back into Adam. Adam was created, I believe, perfect, but he still needed the Christ to come into fullness. He did not have to fall. He chose it. Most Christians don't realize this, and I've said it for many, many years. Even if Adam would have never fallen, Christ was still coming. They don't get that because they only think of Christ being Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer. And he is. Watch, but he's abundantly above that, more than I could ever think or even ask. He didn't just come into my life in the 21st century or the 20th century. Just to make me happy and sustain for as long as I live. He had an eternal purpose. Oh, an eternal purpose. Think about that. The prophet dealt first with the spiritual problem of haughtiness, God help me, in sanctification, and then with the physical need of healing by means of humiliation and obedience in a manner that would bring all the glory to God alone. It's always been about God getting the glory. Always. Always. Are you with me? It's never been about you and I. It's always been about Him. Submission. Obedience. Humble ourselves so that God is the only one that can be seen and heard. Naaman didn't like that, did he? Do you know why he had to dip himself 7 times? I like that. It's a look, the word dip. Are you ready? He had to, what? We are what? Buried with him in baptism. It is the perfect death. The River Jordan, descender, death. That's what it's all about. Look, Adam has to die. Look, I'm telling you, I don't care. Don't listen to the liars that will tell you, oh, you can be a Christian and you don't have to be circumcised. It doesn't matter. God loves you and all that stuff. They're lies. Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. It's a lie. The Bible says in Galatians, this is what the Bible says. I just heard my dad say this again. Actually, I heard someone else say it at their church because I was listening to them. They said, look, you can believe what you want to believe or you can believe what the Bible says. We are baptized into Christ. And Jesus, you want to witness, said, look, you must be born of the water and the Spirit to enter in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is Christ. That's all it is. Many names for the same thing, right? Sorry. Look, we have to become clean. One of the things that bothers me is this. There is a generation that is what? Right in the sight of their own eyes. And they have not been washed from their what? Filthiness. They don't even know they're dirty. They're happy living in the lifestyle they live in. I don't care if their shirts are wrinkled. I mean, Hollister, that's how it became famous. You guys think it's not true, but listen, God is spirit. And he only deals with spiritual stuff. The question is, are we so smart, human strength, horses and chariots? Are you with me? I have a question. Do you think anything happens by accident? The Bible says no. He said, men can throw the lots. They can draw lots. But what? The disposing of that lot is where? In the hand of the Lord. Nothing fools God. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to save humanity. He'd rather deal with us out of the divot. We've been in a divot, the divot of redemption. It's fine, but he just wants us to get back on the line that we would have been on without the divot, without the need of being saved. And I'm talking about fully saved. Clean, pure, physically, ceremonial, clear, bright, shiny, purged from all pollution and defilement, which is idols. Yeah, Naaman was wroth, wasn't he? I don't know. I should probably save this for Sunday, the rest. I will, I'll just say this. And his servants came near and spake unto him, verse 13, and said, my father. I find that interesting. Even though he was an Adam, picture of his own servants respected him. You don't even find that in the church these days. You most definitely don't even find it in families, houses, and no respect. My father, if the prophet had bid or spoken to you, these, thee, do some great or important thing, Wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, so much the more, right? When he saith to thee, wash and be clean. It's just a small thing. Don't despise the day of what? Small things. He just told him to go dip in the water 7 times and you'll be clean. And he had a fit. Wait a minute. Don't you know who I am and what I'm all about? Aren't there rivers back? And I don't know how far it was from Damascus or Syria all the way down to where Elisha was, but I'm sure the travel took some time. I could have stayed home and had a healing. All I had to do was turn on the TV. And then when the man tells me to send his money and he'll send me a piece of cloth, I might get healed. And that does happen. It was just a small thing, wasn't it? I find it interesting that there was a voice that would even talk to him with reason. I'm way ahead of myself, and I got to read something to you. I'll read it on Sunday about what Matthew Henry said about Gehazi. But let me tell you something. I find it interesting. Here was Elisha, who had a servant of God with him that wouldn't listen to him, and yet Naaman, the heathen, had all kinds of servants that not only respected him but followed him. Sounds like today's modern church, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking that Gehazi should have been the changed one, walking with Elisha, just like Elisha was when he walked with Elijah. He said it was just a small thing. You know what Jonah says, verse 8 of chapter 2? It says, they that observe lying vanities forsake or abandon their own mercy. He was willing to despise the word of God because he thought it was not true. He didn't even recognize me as who I am and wouldn't even come out of his house. Maybe he was having lunch. Maybe he was watching TV. Boy, we'd skewer that person, wouldn't we? Oh, yes, we would. And you know why? Just as carnal as Naaman. I'm telling you. We live in the Spirit. But it's time to walk in the Spirit. Amen? And that only comes, watch this, from a real relationship. And honor. And I'm not throwing stones. I understand it's line upon line and it's precept upon precept. And I've come to the biggest understanding of all. I don't know if you've come to that. Look, nobody's going to function without one another. So every time, peace, look, if your tonsils don't want to stay in the body, God just removes them. But watch this, he knows how to grow a new set. You don't get that, but he knows how to replace. He plugs and plays. Look, I'm telling you, Noah didn't build that boat by himself. There's vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor, or just for ordinary use. In other words, watch, God will keep a church going with all kinds of different people till he gets to the point of where he's taking it. Let's stand. I hope I didn't bore you today. I didn't finish. I didn't get anywhere near. We're not done. Can I say this? The reason God allows things to happen that don't seem right on the surface, because Naaman was hot, wasn't he? He was miffed. He went away in rage. He was angry. And it's because God was dealing with his pride. The only reason we get mad is because we don't, like, look, I was listening to one of my dad's Sunday schools, and someone said this, and it's true. This is really true. I've always said this. Look, we are so easily offended over everything. But you know what? I add this. They didn't say this. You know why we get offended? It's just pride. And you know why God allows it to happen? He wants us to be clean. My dad used to preach this way all the time. If you boil a pot of potatoes, what comes to the top? Scum. Where did it come out of? The potato. Hello, potatoes. We like potatoes, don't we? Amen. I think that was a good word, don't you? Because you know why? God loves us and he wants to change us. He doesn't leave us right where we're at. He keeps working on us. He just keeps working on us. Look, what is circumcision about? It's about cutting all around. That's what he wants to do, cut all around our life. Not just dipping the seven times. That's just the start of it. It's just the beginning. You know, there's a lot of people that go get baptized, water baptized, and it just becomes a law to them. It's just judicial. They do the right thing. But what God really wants to do is he wants to cut the heart, circumcise the heart, the mind. He wants to cut away everything that's Adam, doesn't he? Father, I thank you for your word. I really thank you for your spirit, God. I thank you for your life. For your life, God, is true. It's holy. And God, I trust you. You're going to have what you said you would. And I believe with or without me, but I might as well get on board and submit, God, everything, Father. God, I pray tonight that in our moments of quietness, that God, we seek your face. We seek your face, not just to know more about you, but to really know you by experience, God. And that we can, oh my God, hallelujah. You know what? Dipping ourselves seven times, doing the small thing, how hard is it really to pray? It's like one of the easiest things we can do. We'll kill ourselves to buy bread. When he said, look, you come to me, I'm the bread of life. Draw, I was thinking about this the other day. I was saying, Lord, the word says, if I draw near to you, you're going to draw near to me. He can't lie. He doesn't lie. He won't lie. Wait, he can't lie. Amen? Amen. Lord bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus.